Today on LifeQuest, I'm talking to James Markham, Dr. James Markham. He's written a couple of books, and his latest book is called The Ultimate Prescription. Dr. Markham is a cardiologist. He practices in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Chattanooga Heart Institute. And Dr. Markham, thank you for being on LifeQuest.
Well, thank you so much, Dwight, for having us. And it's just always great to be able to share with our listeners about ways that they can become healthier and, more importantly, ways that they can be connected and actually have an appointment with the great physician. You know, people wait in line in offices for hours just to spend 5 or 10 minutes with their doctors every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't get all their questions answered or they don't get to talk enough. But we can have time with the great physician every day. We don't have to wait to come to him. He has as much time as we want, and I want to encourage people to make appointments with the great physicians, especially when it comes to their health needs.
All over the internet and on radio and television every Sunday, I hear all kinds of infomercials, if you want to call them that, promoting this supplement or that supplement, mm-hmm. which is going to make me live forever. So how do we tell? There does seem to be a lot of ideas, and frankly, some of them seem to be quite deceptive.
Yeah, and there is a lot of deception out of there, and I had the same problems. You know, I went to medical school at the University of Texas and did my internal medicine, Medical Center of Delaware, and cardiology at the University of Kentucky, and I was trained very well in modern medicine technology. Mm-hmm. And you know, but that doesn't fix all the problems. And I also see lifestyle, you know, people exercising, eating well, and that's all good and fine, but that doesn't fix the problems. So I was struggling, well, how do you know where truth lies? And that's where I went back to the ultimate physician as the source of healing, getting back to that relationship with God, seeing what he has to say. So when I started using that relationship in the Bible as my medical textbook, the next thing I did was I started reading my Bible and praying to God to reveal the answers to me. And in this book, The Ultimate Prescription, I went back to the only time when it was perfect. Well, how did God design it? What did the perfect plan look like? What did the template plan look like? Well, the original plan was for us to eat lots of fresh fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. And it wasn't in packages. It wasn't in little, they didn't pull all the nutrients out. So that was the original plan. Mm-hmm. So I tried to tell people, you know, I'm going with the original plan if I can. Now, there might be some people for whatever that might need some vitamin supplements or this or that, and I don't think they do any harm, but for me, I want to try to get back what the ultimate prescription in my appointment with him sort of said, why don't you go back to this and see if you can't be healthy, and I see that people that eat balanced diets, they usually get all the nutrients they need, and if they have to throw in an extra vitamin with some B supplements, that's not the end of the world either.
Now, Dr. Markham, you're talking about religion here, you're talking about scripture,
but
you've not tossed out medicine.
Right. No, there's a balanced approach. And modern medicine in my book is great for disasters. In my book, I talk about a fellow named David. And David had a heart attack, and he was 45 and never had a symptom before. But the stent we put in and the shocking his heart didn't fix the problem. It just treated the symptom. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of modern medicine does, Dwight. We just fix the symptoms. We don't get at the cause. And in this book, we talked about all the causes, and we define stress. Well, stress is really, to me, when we're not doing the things that God taught us in the beginning, that puts stress on our system, whether that be not taking a day of rest, not resting at night, not drinking enough water. You know, some of us carry extra weight now. 60% of Americans do. That puts stress on us. You know, putting things in our mind that we weren't designed to have, maybe sitting at a computer terminal all day and not exercising, maybe not getting outside so we can get vitamin D via and increase our serotonin levels. So all of this puts stress, not having love in our life, not having good relationships, not serving others. All this puts stress and turns on this chemical cascade where we make adrenaline and cortisol and inflammation. So anyone that helps relieve stress in this world is really a doctor. So if you make your, you know, someone laugh or make someone feel good or serve someone, you're helping their chemistry out probably even more so than I am.
But you're talking about, I mean, it's hard enough to get people to do exercise and change some of their diet, and now you're even talking about changing our way of thinking.
Yes, and that's why I, in my personal life, you know, I knew 10 years ago when I needed to make some changes, and I couldn't do it on myself. You know, I tried to do it on myself. I tried to will myself, and I was a big coffee drinker, Dwight. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I had to get up that so I could do my surgeries, get my day done, and if I didn't have that coffee, I was an ogre.
Yeah.
So I gave that up, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit that gave me the power. I couldn't do it on my own. It was that relationship that gave me the power. And as I delved in this relationship, God started working with me. He said, Jim, why don't you try this? Or why don't you try this and improve your health? Not everything at once, but it was based on a relationship. And so I think that, you know, we need to incorporate into our health care that relationship with the ultimate physician, especially when it comes to help changing our habits, because that gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to do it. It's not so much what we do, it's why we do it. When we do it because we're in a good relationship with God, we love Him, we're not doing it to be vain, we're doing it because we want our bodies to be temples, we're doing it for the right reasons, and that's what we're missing. And I talk to doctors that are on television in our radio program, mm-hmm. that are on television, and they really focus on lifestyle, and they do a great job with that. Others focus on medical technology, and they do a great job with that too.
Right.
But I think it's now high in time in a world that spends $1 in $5 on health care, when everyone's talking about Obamacare health legislations and pills and bills for your ills, mm-hmm. and new procedures. It's now time to talk about the ultimate physician, uplift him, and let people know that this is really the path to healing. And even if you have terminal cancer, you have genetic stress, you're not getting better, in that relationship with Him, you can be healed. And I see that there's such hope in that when you give that type of prescription to a terminally ill patient.
When you talk about the Bible as giving some direction, I can imagine there's a lot of longtime Christians who get their concordance or their Bible dictionary out, and they begin to look for this text and that text. I'm hearing you say something more than just finding a list of proof texts that are going to be reference material.
Yes, and in our book, we go through that, you know, and at the heart of health, you know, the ultimate prescription is that relationship with our Creator, but that's going to lead us to understanding what this word love looks like. And if you look at the way Christ ministered to people when He was here, first He met their acute needs, you know, He met them where they're at, He healed them. And then the next thing He did, He says, you know, introduce them to a relationship with Him and His Father. And then He gave them the Holy Spirit to help them along this way. So it wasn't so much about a proof text. It was about a love relationship and all of these things. You know, you got to see the big picture, you know, and all this. And this is so important. You know, we can pick proof texts and do just about anything with them, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when we see the big picture and use this love relationship as our basis and see our each one of us as we serve each other as healers and also as proclaimers of the gospel, we see that when a lot of people get concerned about, you know, things when they know that they have a health problem. Well, what a great way to present the gospel of love to them, and get them into this relationship, and let the Holy Spirit then take this person the next step in this healing relationship.
Now, in your book, you talk about hidden stresses that are in our lives. There's got to be some people, Dr. Markham, who say, well, wait a minute, I don't have a high-stress job. I'm not some CEO, or I'm not some person that has to run 12 hours a day at the office. What are some of these hidden stresses that are in our lives?
Well, a lot of people don't think about genetic stress.
Okay.
But 1 in 5 of us have stress that's been passed from your ancestors.
Oh, good, I can blame somebody.
And, right, well, that is simple. Well, you know, I've had people that are in their mid-50s that had heart attacks, that mm-hmm. had perfect diets, no stress, and I said, when did your dad have his heart attack? He says, well, how did you know?
Yeah.
You know? But 1 in 5 of us have bad genetics. We're passed on with the stress of bad genetics. But stresses that we don't think about, drinking enough water, 70% of our body's water, and yet 7 out of 10 Americans don't hydrate themselves well enough. When you don't hydrate yourself, it's like walking in desert. You make adrenaline, you make cortisol, insulin levels go up, you make inflammatory proteins, the parts don't work as good, you know, you get the hungry hormones, ghrelin goes up. So a lot of bad things happen when you just don't drink water. And people don't think of lack of hydration as a stressor, but it is. How about resting well? The original plan required us to work 6 days and rest the day, and yet Adam and Eve had no health problems.
Yeah.
So that rest was important for the maintenance in the body to heal itself. Not only the weekly rest, but also a nightly rest. We were designed to work all day and rest at night. Well, how many of us stay up late at night? Maybe we watch TV or play on the computer or do iPhones, cell phones, or make a bunch of calls. We don't rest well at night. That puts stress on us. So when we don't rest well, that's another major stressor. In fact, 20 years ago in the heart business, when someone had a heart attack, when we didn't have all these fancy stuff to offer, we used to say, well, let's just rest the heart, bed rest. When you break your arm, you let it rest for 6 weeks in a sling. You let it heal. Well, God knew this about the body, the mind, all the parts need a rest. So when we don't get enough rest, guess what? The stress chemistries turn on again. A lot of people don't think of extra weight as stress, but we know that extra weight, called the endocannabinoid system, all this extra weight makes chemicals that damage the body. And we've proven it. You know, it makes insulin levels change. It makes high blood pressure. It makes you more hungry. It puts stress on the body. You're more likely to have depression, anxiety, sleep apnea, problems with the arteries of the heart, hypertension, aneurysms, digestive problems, make, you know, higher estrogen levels. The list goes on and on. And yet, you know, so 6 out of 10 Americans suffer that stress. Then we have the stress of all the chemicals we're introduced that we might not be designed to have. The stress of noise, the stress of being inside when we're designed to be outside. So there's lots, the stress of not worshiping, the stress of not having relationships. And, you know, we were designed to worship and be with our Creator. When we're not with our Creator, when we're worshiping something else, whether that might be football or our wealth or something else, when we're not worshiping the true God, again, stress is put on our bodies. So it comes from all over, and yet it turns on these same chemicals. It's great if you're fighting a war, have chemicals like that for a day or two, but if you do this day in, day out, 24/7, sooner or later you see about 80 to 90% of the diseases that's plaguing our society.
There is a lot of interest in health today. I go into a bookstore or I hit Amazon, and there's just hundreds and hundreds of books and guidelines. Are you better received today in some of your presentations than maybe when you first started medicine?
Well, I don't know. It's according to who you're going to talk to, Dwight. You know, I go up to the Northeast, and it's like arrows, you know, flying at me. You know,
okay.
Everyone wants to defend their the things that they might not be doing.
Okay.
And it's sad that way. And, of course, as the Internet, there's more and more theories and more people throwing things at you, so it gets complicated in that manner. Mm-hmm. But the answer to your question overall is yes. People are more receptive now to health than ever. They know that what's out there is not the solution. They realize they're getting sicker. That they see that pills are not the answer, procedures are not the answer. They're looking for something more. They're actually looking for truth. They're going to the Internet. They're looking for things. And that's why I wanted to put a book out there that I think gives people the place to go to look for truth. And that's back in that relationship with the Bible. I'm not saying I have all the truth, but I know where the place to go to look for it is and to develop truth. So I'm trying to get people, instead of going to websites and going to their doctor's office and all these other places for information, well, that's fine and good, but let's start with our time with the ultimate prescription first, the relationship with God first, and let Him sort of direct us where we should go, and let us sort of find out what truth is based on that relationship in our life.
You've just tuned in, folks. I'm talking with Dr. James Markham. He's a cardiologist. He's written a new book called The Ultimate Prescription. And on page 89, you give some practical suggestions. You say, look, this isn't a nutrition book per se, but at the same time, you give some general concepts. One of them is saying, eat a balanced diet with lots of fresh fruits, vegetables, and beans, and seeds.
Uh-huh.
I guess we need to change a lot on that.
Well, you know, I meet people in the office every day, and some of these people, bless their hearts, Dwight, they're good people, but they just, you know, they've been in society for so long where they say supersize is better, and they just don't eat well. And if someone will just sort of help them in the right direction and wrap truth in love and love them and not judge them and let them know that God's going to love them and help them do this, let's just try one thing and stick with it for a month and see if you don't feel better. So in this suggestion, you know, I said, you know, just start eating the vegetables first, and if you have to have the bad things, at least eat it last. At least that's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And let God work with you on this. And then, you know, other suggestions like drinking more water, avoid the things that have high fat, you know, just the smart things that we hear over and over. But what I've learned in writing this book, and we're going to get to it at the end, most people know these things. Okay, they know these things. They know what they should eat and what they shouldn't. They know they should exercise more. They know what they should do. Well, why aren't we doing this? Why are we sicker than ever? Well, it's because that relationship with our ultimate physician is not as strong as it should be, because that's where the power comes in to change. And that's what I wanted to get people thinking about, getting them back to that relationship with their Savior, getting them back to plugging into the power of the Holy Spirit and letting God work with you. He's not going to necessarily turn everyone around at once, even though he can do that if he wants, but he can lead us to the path of ultimate healing.
I'm hearing you say that by starting on that end with a relationship with God, a scriptural, spiritual base, that somehow that's going to motivate us to change?
Exactly. And that's what I would recommend. And let God do it for you. You know, ask him to give you the Holy Spirit. Ask him to show himself working in your life. Ask him to give you the power to eat an apple a day or whatever, wherever you decide to start. But start somewhere, and then no matter what happens in life, as long as we have that relationship and belief, we're promised to have everlasting healing. And that is something that's so encouraging in today's world. So I had a group of 500 people that wanted to lose weight, Dwight, and we went through all of the methods out there and the diets and the exercise and don't eat, you know, don't skip breakfast and all that.
Right.
And at the end of the time, we followed them forward, and what the people that kept the weight off long-term, what they had was, that kept them together, the one variable was relationships.
Hmm.
They had a growing relationship with God, and they had a serving relationship with each other. That was the component that helped these people keep it off. It wasn't a special diet. It wasn't a special exercise plan. It was a power that they received from an active relationship with the Holy Spirit.
I would imagine that as you talk to people, maybe even as you're interviewed or even with people in your own medical practice, you get some pushback on this concept.
Oh, yeah, constantly. I just did a secular interview earlier, mm-hmm. and the big question of, well, you know, this is just garbage. You know, how can anyone believe any of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, what I did in my personal life was I believed in the Bible, and either you believe in the Bible and what it says or you don't. I had to start there, and at one time in my life, I didn't know whether I believed in my Bible.
Uh-huh.
So I went back and studied archaeology, I studied prophecy, and one of the pastors that I was working said, listen, you know, read this book, More Than a Carpenter, and I read that by Josh McDowell,
right.
A great book. And after I read it, I realized that the Bible was true. There were thousands and thousands of people that saw Christ and did this. The Bible is true. If that wasn't not enough, as I studied the Bible, I saw that God was real in my own life. And as that happened, my whole practice of medicine changed. I saw things differently. I didn't think that, you know, the stent was necessarily the end all. I wanted to know why the stent happened. I wanted people, if the stent didn't work, to have something more in the healing process. So in the secular world, I said, listen, but there's science that proves this. Everything that I talk about in the book is scientifically proven, and I get those concepts from the Bible. Everything that God said from biblical technology is now being proved by science. We know that people worship have good chemical reactions in the body. There's a University of Pennsylvania study that says that people that worship, no matter how it is, 30 minutes a day, they increase the neurons in their prefrontal cortex, so their brain becomes stronger. So we know that people that have water have better chemistry, that rest have better chemistry. These are now being proven scientifically. So everything in the Bible has also been proven scientifically. When you add all this up, you say, wow, the Bible is true. It is the source of healing. It is the source of medical knowledge as well, and it can help us all out. We need to get this message out to the world. And if I was the evil one, Dwight, wanting to destroy the world, I would do everything I could to get people to worship modern technology, to worship what we could do, what we can do with pills, worship this and that, and not worship the true God. It's always been about worship since the beginning of time. Do you worship the true God, or do you think you can be God? Do you get these pantheistic views? Do you know, like Daniel, who did you worship, the true God or Baal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who did they worship in Christ's time? Did they worship the Pharisees, or did they worship the true God? So it's always been about who we worship. And I think as time moves on, as we worship God, that's going to be our only strength to sort of fight off some of these things that are coming at us from every conceivable source.
You know, Dr. Markham, I can understand some of the resistance you may be getting from people who really are quite secular in their approach to life.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you and I live in what is known as the Bible Belt, and yet the Bible Belt states have some of the worst medical histories as far as the general population is concerned. And I've had some very religious people just reject that we should restrict or put borders on what we should eat.
And I try to meet him where I said, look, to put this in front of God and say, listen, why don't you just try one thing and stick with it for a month and see if you don't feel better? You know, some people are overwhelmed when they do things so much.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as taking this to the secular world, I found that that's going to be where the greatest successes are met.
Again, your book is called The Ultimate Prescription, Dr. James Markin. This is a Tyndall House publication. Towards the end of the book, you have several appendix here. Talk about symptoms and diagnostic testing and treatment, things like that. Unpack that a little bit for us.
Well, you know, the reason that needs to be done in America is 40% of disease we have is cardiovascular. And with all the health care changes we see, the Obamacare going in, doctors don't have as much time to explain things to patients.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed some place to go where if you're having an acute care problem, you're having acute symptoms, you need some explanations of when you need to go to get some help. So, and also explaining the tests and what's used for this, because there is a place for modern medicine. You know, if I'm having a heart attack, give me a stent. But after the stent goes in, help me to figure out why I needed a stent, and Lord, give me the power to make some changes so that might not happen again. And if it does happen again, keep me safe in your love so we can be together for eternity. So that's why I wrote that, because that's where we meet people. We meet them where they are. And usually I meet them in a healthcare crisis, like David. He was having a heart attack. Well, the first day you meet someone in a relationship, you don't hit them over the head with all this stuff. You love them. You love them and not judge them and say, you know, David, I want you to feel better. Here's some ways that I think, give it a try. I think it'll make you feel better. And most people, when you love them, you know, and they realize you want to help them, I've yet to find one person that won't try at least one biblical technology that I give them, you know, when they're trying to quit smoking. I say, well, would you pray? You know, would you do that for a week? Would you drink a glass of water a day? Would you walk for 1 minute a day in place? Most people, when they know you care about them and you explain scientifically how this will help, they will at least do one thing that will help themselves. And when they get doing it, they realize, yeah, there is a God that's interested in me. I did 1 minute. I can do a little bit more. I do feel better. And it leads to the next change. And they might not ever be perfect, but I wrote this book, especially the back part, the appendix, to help people have a knowledge of what acute care medicine looks like. Because in the book, we talk about lifestyle medicine a lot. We talk about how we can plug into that spiritual relationship a lot, but I also wanted to have the balance of also talking about there is a place for modern medicine. I don't want to diss my colleagues. Unfortunately, we just don't have the voice pointing people back to the ultimate physician that I think we should be lifting up. It's hard to talk to much people about spiritual life when some doctors only have 3 to 5 minutes with a patient in the office. You know, getting into a relationship with God, letting him be in charge of your health care, this is at the core of the gospel, and I think this is a great way. You know, I tell people that in our book, we also give study. There's study questions in the box.
Right.
Well, if you're concerned about someone and want to touch their hearts and introduce a spiritual component, you know, for $10, you can give them this book. And it sort of non-threateningly sort of opens up the gospel. Maybe they'll have some more questions. Maybe they'll see how spirituality is involved in their lives. You know, so it's sort of a great way to, you know, take the gospel to other people. And, you know, you don't have to be in their face or anything. Say, listen, this is a book that helped me out. You know, it might help you out. Why don't you see what you think?
The book is The Ultimate Prescription. It's a Tyndall House publication. Dr. James Markin, What the Medical Profession Isn't Telling You. Where can people find your book, Dr. Markin?
Yeah, it's in every bookstore in America, Barnes & Noble. If they're on the Internet, it can be got at Amazon.com. It can be in all the Christian bookstores across America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's available in every bookstore.
Dr. Markin, thank you so much for being with us today on LifeQuest.